You know, this big dynamite comes in small packages. These big old fellas made me mad. They got on the church bus, and there's a cussing, and there's a carrying on, there's a doping. And one night, one of them got on there and spit in my face. I hadn't been saved long. Before I knew it, I come up out of my seat. I run back through that bus, and I had him by the nape of the neck, and I was about to give him one. You know what? The blessed Holy Ghost said, "You better not hit that boy." I said, "I want to hit him so bad." I turned him loose, and I told him I apologize, sorry. But he is the one that helps you refrain from getting in trouble a lot of times, folks. He'll restrain you. Be an effective witness. Be an effective church. I tell you something. Stay with the stuff tonight. Stay with the stuff. Don't cop out. Don't run out. Don't quit. Don't give up, folks. Don't change. Stay with the church. Stay with the brethren. Stay with old brother Danny here and help him praise God. You've done a good job over here. I was looking at all this stuff up here that you've accomplished through the years. I want to tell you something. You hear a whole lot of criticism about people, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know of any other church that's accomplishing what you folks have accomplished up here. You hear that? I don't know of another church. I tell people, how long has it been since you prayed a beer store out of business, amen, to put a Bible book store there? Huh? Until you do, keep your mouth shut, praise God. Amen. God bless you. And amen. Okay, I think we'll turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 25. We'll not be long tonight, the Lord willing. I heard where one lady told a preacher when he got through preaching, he reminded her of Pharaoh, and he said, "Why is that?" She said, "You won't let God's people go," amen. Then I heard another fellow come to church, and the preacher was so long-winded, he got up during the service, was leaving, the preacher hollered and said, "Where are you going, boy?" He said, "I'm going to go get a haircut." He said, "Why didn't you get one before you come?" He said, "I didn't need one when I come, amen." But I believe a preacher ought to get up, speak up, and shut up, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 13. Okay, one verse. "And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword, and they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. There went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff." 200 abode by the stuff. Now in chapter 30 of the same book in verse 24. Chapter 30 and verse 24. The Bible said, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff." Let's bow forward for our Father. I thank you for the good singing, the good fellowship, and I pray the Holy Ghost, God, give us some unction tonight and bless these people. I hope we'll be a blessing, and we'll praise you for what you do for us in Christ's name. Amen. Well, with the help of God, I want to preach a little while on the subject, staying by the stuff. And we live in a time where a lot of people are compromising their standards and their convictions because of peer pressure and persecution. A lot of people are throwing in the towel. They're quitting. A lot of preachers are leaving the ministry. And then there's a lot of confusion going on in the churches today. Just here recently, I know two pastors who went to a Benny Hinn meeting. They come back and tried to promote that in their churches. Caused a lot of confusion and a lot of division. And I tell you, we're living a time where I believe we need to stick by the stuff. Amen? You say, "What kind of stuff are you talking about?" Well, first of all, I believe we need to stick with the book. I believe we need to stay with the book. I'm not talking about the NIV or the HIV. I'm talking about the KJV. Amen? The King James Bible. I believe it's the book. I don't think it's a version. I know it's the book, thank God. And the Bible said it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I still believe it'll get the job done. Amen? I believe, thank God, it'll produce conviction. It'll produce faith. Praise God, it'll blow the devil in hell right out of an old sinner's heart. Amen? I want to thank God for the book tonight. Hey, we need a revival for people to fall back in love with the book and the Word of God. I mean, they've traded for this and for that, but hey, my friend, we don't need to rewrite it. We need to reread the book, amen? I can't get enough of it. We had a Friday night meeting this past Friday night. Had a bunch of young preachers come in preach. I couldn't find nothing better to do.
I told my folks the reason I'm here, I couldn't find nothing better to do. I can't find nothing better to do on Sunday morning than Sunday night and Wednesday night. A lot of people think a ball game's better than church. I don't think so. Hey, amen. Brother, listen, I can't find anything better to do, I say, than to hear somebody preach the Word of God. I'll be honest, I'd rather hear somebody preach it than I had read it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I always learn something from the Bible. Brother, I always learn something from the Bible. It's a lamp in our feet and a light in our path. Hey, thank God the Bible said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brother, when you get down and out, you need the bus. Hey, when you're walking through the valley, you need the bus. It'll make you want to go bear hunting with a switch, amen. It'll make you want to charge hell with a water pistol. It'll make a spiritual giant out of you. Brother, the book will get the job done, amen. I'll tell you, just read that book, preach that book, and it'll get the job done. I got a boy, he's 16 years old. I took him to the doctor the other day. And so he measured him, and he was 6'4" tall, amen. And I asked the nurse, I said, you got anything that'll stunt his growth, amen? He said, what done him like that? Cheeseburgers and french fries and hot dogs and hamburgers, amen? I said, that's what the Word of God will do to you. Brother, it'll make a great big giant out of you for the glory of God. I say, I'll walk in places and people say, well, what happened to you? Hey, they see me and him together, and they'll say, well, what happened to you? I stunted my growth when I was growing up on Prince Albert cigarettes and homemade homebrew, amen? I want to tell you something about a spiritual giant. Brother, you can read the book, and brother, it'll make a powerful person out of you. You know why a lot of people are falling by the wayside? I say they've left the book. Brother, I want to tell you something. The reason a lot of people don't have no victory, they've left the book. Thank God we need a revival of the Word of God back in our churches, amen? Brother, I still believe it'll get the job done. Hey, my boy lives down where we are, and he was working as a mechanic in a garage, and he's a great old big tough fella, and kind of rugged, liked to fight a lot. And he told somebody he was going to go to school and get a college education, that he wanted to be a smart man. And somebody told him, said, bud, if you'll read the Bible, it'll make you smart. It'll make you smart. And they said, I don't think you can read it anyway. He said, I believe I can. And he said, a matter of fact, I believe I can figure out what he's talking about. You know what that old boy did? He went home, got him a marijuana cigarette and a can of Budweiser beer. And he sat back in his living room chair and began to read the book. And it wasn't but a few days till he laid down that marijuana cigarette and he would come home and pick him up just a beer and drink it. And it wasn't long till he didn't drink the beer. And he said, somebody started talking to me out of that book right there. And you know what happened? He got saved by the grace of God. I still believe it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And but a lot of people just don't like the book anymore. Hey, when I got saved back in 1974, about every revival was going 6 nights, 7 nights, sometimes 2 weeks. I want to tell you, churches have revival. But now we have what we call a mini revival. They broke it down from Saturday night to Friday night. And then they cut out their Friday night meeting on down to Thursday and down to Wednesday. And now we have what we call the mini revivals. Amen. I want to tell you something. It's going to take more than that to get the job done. Well, I tell you, we need to stay fully on the ball games, on the entertainment, recreation. And we need to get back to the house of God. I say to read the book, brother. I say to God along with that book. And if you'll read it, brother, listen, it'll help you. It'll bless you. I know it'll work, thank God. I was lost and... what got me saved was the book. A lot of people change methods. They change programs. They tried this and they tried that. Hey, but the book will still get the job done. I want to tell you, listen, I walked out of the town hall pool room in Lenore, North Carolina back in 1974. I was born and raised in a bootlegger's home. My dad made and sold moonshine whiskey. And at the age of 14 years old, I was put into a reformatory school. I stayed there for several months and ran away, and years later I got into some serious trouble and wound up in the prison. I've spent some of the best years of my life down behind bars in Raleigh Prison, and I got out, and I was just an old drunk. My dad raised me to be an old drunk, and I turned and got into old dope and all that mess. But you know what? Coming out of the town hall pool room down in Lenore one day, and two young preachers stopped me on the street corner passing out gospel tracts, and hey, they said, you know the Lord? And I didn't know the Lord. And we went down to my old hippie house, my old hippie pad, and went in there and thanked God to open up the Bible and got to reading through me out of the book, amen? Now you say, what happened? Thank God, listen, it's something very mysterious started taking place down on the inside of my innermost being. Praise God, it was supernatural, heartfelt, life-changing. Hey, listen, you know what happened? I got saved by the grace of God that day while those men were reading to me out of the blessed book. Brother, you just read it. You believe it. You can live by it. You can die by it. You can trust the book, amen? And I tell you, we need to stick with the book. A lot of people have left the book. Did you know that? I still believe, listen, it'll excite the saints of God. Over in Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible said Ezra stood up with those scribes and read the book, and they stood there from morning to midday, and the people got excited and said, amen, hallelujah, while they were reading the Word of God. Hey, does your heart still burn when the men of God are preaching the Word? My friend, when you pick that Bible up at home, if you do, does this still bless you and stir you? If you're not careful, the devil will steal your affection away from you, from the Word of God. He'll get you occupied with other things. He'll get you out doing other things. But my friend, we need to stay with the book. And I'll tell you, he'll hear you. The Bible said in the last day there's going to come a famine. Not of the Word of God, but of the hearing of the Word of God. There's going to be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. And boy, it's the day we're living in. I'll be honest, I told my folks I must be a good preacher. I said, because when I preach on Sunday morning, I don't see you again until next Sunday morning. Amen. I tell you, just one message does them. Sometimes they'll pop in every other week. And sometimes I got people come once a month. And believe it or not, I got some that comes just on holidays, Mama's Day, Easter. Where were you people Easter morning when I was over here anyway? Amen. Still in the bed? Hey, I really have. I've got some. Just show up on holidays. This is a good crowd for Sunday night. Amen. You folks need to come down to Lenore next Sunday night. Amen. Fill my church up. I think I'll surprise them. Get Brother Danny to bring them down there one Sunday night and pack that place out. Amen. Hey, but I want to tell you something. We need the book. Stay with the stuff. Stay with the book because it'll still get the job done. I want to say very quickly, we need to stay with the book. But thank God we need to stay with the brethren. Amen. Need to stay with the brethren. You know, a lot of people run off this week to go to the Promise Keepers movement. Huh? I want to tell you something. A preacher told me, now he told me he wasn't lying. He told me he knew of a pastor who went down there to one of those meetings to hold hands with that crowd to make a vow he was going to be faithful to his wife, and he run off with another man. Amen. I got a lot of material on that mess. Listen, that's the forerunner of the church in Revelation. Amen. Just drop your doctrine, drop your convictions, drop your denominational issues, and hey, that smells very fishy to me, amen. I want to tell you why I want to go down there and pay them $60 to make a vow to my wife when I made one when I got married, amen. I want to tell you something. I'd rather stay home and take her out with that $60 buy her steak, amen. Hey, I want to tell you, a whole lot better at home. She trusts me anyway. I'd go up here by myself tonight. Amen. Even though I do look like Elvis, she still trusts me. Amen. I want to say, praise God. I want to stick with the brother. I want to stay with the book. I think God's men are sweet. Some of them are anyway, but I think God's people, I want to tell you, they'll help you in a time of trouble. When you're in the hospital, they'll be there to pray for you. Hey, that old crowd I used to run with, I got put in the hospital. They didn't even come see me. I could have died. They'd have left me up there. Hey, when I got put in the jailhouse, they didn't come sign my bond. They didn't care what happened to me. But I tell you, since I've been saved, when I got put in the hospital, it was God's people that prayed for me. It was God's people that put some money in my hand. Amen. It was God's people that sent some flowers to me. Hey, it's God's people that's been good to me. I want to tell you, God's people, they bought me a brand spanking new 1997 Grand Prix race car the other day. Amen. Really? The world never did buy me nothing like that. I left it at home because it's raining, amen? I didn't want to get it dirty, my wife. Why you got a car and won't drive it in the rain? I said, hush, woman, I have to wash that thing clean up. I said, if you wash it, I'll let you drive it, but when I wash it, I won't keep it clean, amen? But I tell you, God's people are supportive, and I want to stay with God's people, don't you? I don't want to run off with this and that and the other. And I remember when I first got saved. When I first got saved, My brother's mother-in-law was in a charismatic movement. She never one time told me about Jesus Christ. She knew I was lost. She knew I was an old doper and an old drunk. She knew I was on my way to hell. I was around her time and time again. She didn't one time mention Jesus Christ to me. She never invited me to church, but you know what? Soon as she heard I got saved, she called me on the telephone and invited me to a Holy Ghost revival, she told me. And I went down to this little charismatic church. Folks, you can believe what you want to. I got in there and it's break, Mason. I'm serious. One of my old lost buddies went with me. I never been in nothing like that before. I didn't know nothing about church. And that preacher said, well, we're going to have a healing service, and everybody in that church is sick because everybody got in line. Including my old lost buddy. He's about 6 foot something, big old husky fella. He's lost and got in line and went up there, and that preacher got him by the head. And he said, oh, I'm a shin of a knee necktie. Somebody stole my moon pie. I got to send me $100 by me necktie. That old lost buddy of mine, he went. I said, well, I don't know what they got, but I'm going to go get me some of it, amen. Hey, I wasn't even sick, but when he got through squeezing my head, I had a headache, amen. I was feeling pretty good when he got a hold of me and shook me, amen. But I want to tell you something. I want to stay with the book. I want to stay with the stuff. I want to stay with the brethren. I'm talking about God's people. God's blood-washed, blood-bought people. Amen. I tell you, God ain't in the clubs and this movement and that movement. I've got people that I tried to tell years ago about Jimmy Swaggart. Oh, no, he's a good man. Well, he might have been saved. I don't know. But I tried to tell him his doctrine's wrong. Well, he messed up. And it was running after Jim Baker. I tried to tell him that ain't right. I listen, it didn't take me 5 seconds to pick up. It's too much like Hollywood. Well, his doctrine's off. He don't even preach. Why you want to join up with something like that? Oh, he's a good man, but he messed up. And they won't come back and say, well, you were right and I was wrong. They're looking for some new movement to run off with. I want to tell you something. You better stay with the brother and stay with the book or you'll get messed up. I know my crowd. I'm not saying everybody in those movements are lost. There might be somebody saved here and there, but I know my crowd. I know my crowd, and I want them doctrinally straight, praise God. Listen, I believe saved and saved for time and eternity, thank God. I believe the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and we better stick with the doctrine of the Word of God, amen. The Bible said they that worship God must worship Him in what spirit and what truth. And there's a whole lot of people trying to worship God, and they don't know what the truth is. Hey, but I want to stay with the stuff. I want to stay with the brethren. Hey, number three, I want to stick with the battle, don't you? Hey, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to stick with the battle. There's a whole lot of people falling out because of the pressure of the battle. I had a preacher the other day told me he just resigned his church. He said, I can't take it anymore. He said, they're in and out, up and down, hot and cold, off and on. Said, I got a house full one Sunday and an empty house the next. He's been there 4 years. He said, I can't handle it no more. And he resigned his church. I want to tell you folks something. Christianity is no place for sissies or wimps. You better remember this. It's no place for cowards or turncoats. Somebody said we're sissies because we go to church. You carry that Bible down the street. You got to live for God. Well, they'll cuss you and lie on you. It takes somebody pretty tough to live for God today. Well, listen, I've been pastoring for 16 years. I've been saved for 23 years. I've been cussed at. I've been assaulted. Listen, I've been locked up in jail. All kind of things for preaching and living for God. And I found out the world is your enemy. And it's a battle. Paul said, I fought a good fight. And if you ain't fighting, you've laid over. Hey, you've turned on you forsook something. Hey, I want to tell you something. Hey, lied on me. You ought to hear some of the stuff they told on me down there. I had a man to come not long ago, and he told his pastor, said, I'm going to go visit a little bit. And he said, well, where are you going to visit at? He said, I'm going down to Brother Waitzelbeard's church. And the preacher didn't say this, but some woman, I don't know if it's the preacher's wife, some woman said, you better not go down there. He said, how come? He lets women preach in his church. Said, the last revival they had, he had a woman preacher down there, amen. I mean, they'll tell all kinds of stuff on you. Somebody said, I pulled a gun on the guy. I was going to kill him, reading and run off of my other church. And so, you don't know what all. Hey, I can tell you some stuff. I'm embarrassed to tell you, amen. I'm afraid you might believe it, amen. You might go spread it, make it bigger than it really is. I've been cussed at. People stick their dogs on me. Had people try to run over me while I was out street preaching. Throw beer cans at me. Holy try to put me in a jail for doing something good. God saved me. I told them one day, I said, listen, you used to chase me while I was out drinking and driving. You chased me when I was an outlaw, when I was robbing stores. I said, I made you fellows earn your money. Now God's saved me up here preaching on the street, and I'm trying to help these other crooks. Hey, you're trying to put me in jail. I said, which way do you want me anyway, buddy? Man. You know what I found out? He doesn't have me like I used to be. Doesn't have me like I am now. But hey, I got a maid. Hey, I'm saved by the grace of God. And I got something to tell people, thank God. But I want to tell you, listen, the greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. A lot of people want the victory, but they don't want to fight the battles. But I got news for you. The Christian life is full of valleys and battles. You got the devil and the world and the flesh to contend with. Hey, but God's grace is sufficient. He said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm glad, praise God, my God. He's bigger than the devil, amen. It ain't always a bed of roses. I felt like quitting before. I told my wife a few times, I'm not going to pastor. I'm going to preach around different churches like I used to and get me a job. I didn't have all these problems to deal with. Where you got people, you got problems. You'll never know what a pastor... Now, I'm not up here to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm trying to get you to feel sorry for Brother Danny, okay? Okay, Danny's a good man. Bears a hard load. Is that what you told me to say, Brother Danny? Amen? But I'm serious as a heart attack tonight. Brother, you'll never know the battle that a pastor stays in. It's continually canceling, running after people, falling to the wayside, trying to win the lost, trying to do all the praying, sometimes trying to do all the business. And just one thing or another, and he has to bear all the burdens and all the problems of the people in the church. He goes to the hospital. He has to help those people that are dying with cancer and got heartache. Their children's run away from home. They're out on dope. They're out on drugs. One's wife left him. Her husband left him. And they all bring that pastor in there, and he's got the load of that church. And I want to tell you, if he's a real man of God, that's a burden on him, and he's concerned about it. And he has compassion. And he goes home laying awake of a night wondering how it's going to turn out. But hey, you be good to your preacher and pray for him. Help hold his hand up. And God will bless you for that, amen. The devil's going to give you a rough time, but he's going to fight that preacher a whole lot more than you. Now, there's been a few times I've told my wife, I said, I'm going to get me a job. And before I started pastoring, I had it made, you see. I could go in on Sunday morning and preach, and then people loved me. They thought I was the prettiest little old fella that ever walked, you know, come in there sweet. No, I was better than the preacher. But, you know, if I found out I could stay there about a year, you're as mean as that other fellow they had, amen. They want to transfer you on out in about a year. They're getting like the Methodists. They hold you about 4 years, and then they're ready to get rid of you. You know why? Because you find out what they're doing, where they're living at. You know too much. You found out too much about them. Hey, but I want to tell you something. We need to stick with the Bible. Brother, we need to be like Eliezer, holding the Old Testament, one of David's mighty men. And the Bible said, while he fought the Philistines, brother, his hand grew weary with a sword in it. But thank God his hand hit clay into the sword, amen. I say this time next year, I hope by God's grace, I'm still preaching the Word of God. I hope by the grace of God, I'm still in church. I hope every one of you people here tonight in the house of God is keeping on next year at this time. You don't fall out. The devil don't thrust you out somewhere in the Bible and destroy you and wound you. Brother, you stay with the stuff and God will bless you for it. I tell you, there's so many people quitting. One fella told me, he said, he's had a lot of churches. He started by the time I did, and he's had one church after another, one church after another. And he said, I'm not going to pastor a church when there's trouble involved. But hey, if you're going to run from the battle, you're going to be running a whole lot, you know that? And some folks just can't take the battle. Folks, the Christian life is full of suffering. You better remember that. Thank God for the mountaintops. But in the valley, brother, Dave's singing about a while ago, he's the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valley. Oh, it's easy to shout when the cupboard's full. It's easy to shout when our billfold's full of money. Oh, God's good. God's great. Heaven's sweet. Brother, when everything's going our way and the children's all well, car payments caught up, I will tell you, and everything's going our way, how good God is. Hey, but you let somebody have a flat tire on Sunday morning. You let the boss man chew them out, and they're ready to quit on God. You let somebody hurt their little feelings, and brother, they'll throw their little feelings up on their shoulders, and they'll run home and say, oh, preacher, hurt my feelings. God, help your little pitiful soul. Brother, you need to top up, thank God. Be a good soldier and a tough soldier, amen. But we need some persecution, folks. Huh? We need to be able to shout when the world's against us, amen? We need to be able to shout when the car's tore up and the children's sick. I mean, anybody can shout on a mountaintop. The world's looking for somebody to shout in the valley, amen? I believe most of us pout in the valley, amen? My folks, I got a good group of people, really. I had a good group where I was at. I had a good group of people at New Hope Baptist Church. And I had to leave because of health reasons. My deacons got sick and tired of me, amen? I was kidding. I stayed there 10 years, done what I could, and I just kind of got immune to the people. I don't know what, but church come open. I'd had several churches to contact me and want me to come, and I prayed about it, and I felt like it was the Lord's will, and I went where I did. I ordained a boy that was in the old church, a young preacher boy. And I want to tell you something. He's carrying on the work. People being saved. They're ready to build. Things are going smooth. The church I went to just picked up and was growing, and God's blessing us. I want to tell you something. God's been good to us. Amen. God's been good to us, and I got a good group of people. But every once in a while, I'll be honest, they get on your nerves. Amen. One fellow called me at 3 o'clock one morning. I mean, here I was asleep, 3 o'clock in the morning, and the telephone runs. I thought, somebody's dying. Somebody's sick. There's an emergency. I jumped up, answered my telephone. This fellow says, I couldn't sleep, and I wanted somebody to talk to. You better be filled with the Holy Ghost when you get you get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning over some guy can't sleep. Misery loves company, amen. He couldn't sleep, and he didn't want me sleeping. Now, I'll be honest, I was a hypocrite that morning. I'm going to be honest. I was just full of hypocrisy that morning. Because it's real nice, you know. I said, well, brother, that's fine. You know, what's your problem? But on the inside, I said, you stinking nut, I'd like to wring your head off. What are you doing getting me up this time of morning? Hey, the telephone rings 2 o'clock in the morning, Winston-Salem Baptist Hospital. Brother had to drive to Tennessee and other states to bury people. Didn't get a dime out of it. We ain't in it for money, but I tell you what, you can't buy gas on orange potatoes, amen. But I tell you, there's visitations, there's trouble, there's counseling, and it is for you church people. Let me give you this. I'm going to quit. We need to stay with the stuff. You ever have a good fight on Sunday morning before you get to church? Some of you had a fight tonight before you got here. You can't wait till I get through because you're going to finish it when I say amen, okay? I say there ain't nothing like a good fight with your wife or when you're going to church, praise God. Woo! I want to tell you something. You got up late. The alarm clock went off late. And she's trying to cook breakfast, put her makeup on. You're trying to shave. You cut your face with a razor. And she's got her makeup in there, getting it all over her face. The bacon's burning. The dog's running from jogger down the road. One of your kids got your refrigerator, turned it over in the middle of the kitchen. The other one got your car chasing down the road, run your car off somewhere. Telephone ringing. Some of your church people telling they can't come because they're going to the mountains, amen. And all of a sudden, boy, you and your wife, you know, I'm not your hand, you know, you big hypocrite. Are you a hypocrite? You look at each other and say, we're just a bunch of hypocrites. There ain't no reason going to church. God ain't going to bless us hypocrites. He might if you'll confess it, amen. I know a lot of people think, well, preachers never have that problem. I'm going to tell you something. I had to pull off the side of the road, this is the truth, going to church before. And I've had to get my wife by the hand. And I've had to say, honey, we're going to pray before going to church because I got to preach. And so we pray, and I say, Lord, you forgive us for being hypocrites. Forgive her for starting this fight. Amen. I think that's the reason she didn't come tonight. We got a big fire boy left, amen. But it's a battle. There's financial setbacks, there's sickness and tragedy that comes in the home, there's persecution, there's family problems. Folks, there's all kind of battles in a Christian life. But thank God you need to stick with the stuff and stay in there for the glory of God. I found out, seriously, if you're going to church on a morning like that and confess to God you've been a hypocrite, God will bless you usually. Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. We need to stay with the book. We need to stay with the brethren. We need to stay with the battle. We need to stay with the brethren. We need to stay with the blessed Holy Ghost. And I'll not stay there, but I'm not talking about you can't leave him. We're sealed to the day of redemption. I'm talking about leaving the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. And you talk about the Holy Spirit today in a lot of churches. You know what? People think you are charismatic. I want to tell you something. Before the charismatics ever come on the scene, there's a whole bunch of Holy Ghost filled Baptists shouting the victory for the glory of God. Amen. I want to tell you, thank God there's a running aisle and there's a shout in the victory and there's filled with the blessed Holy Ghost. And hey, you need Him today. He helps us live that Christian life. It's not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in thee. And God give us something to be a Christian. It's impossible. People say it's hard to be a Christian. I say it's impossible to be one without the Holy Ghost. Brother, He's the one that helps you when that cash register woman gives you back too much money. I was in the mall one day, got me a big old ice cream, handed the girl $1, $2. She was on the telephone talking to her boyfriend. She gave me back change for a $20 bill. Boy, that ice cream tastes good, amen. You know what the flesh said? Or the devil? Or somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody was talking to me. Said it wasn't your fault, it's her fault. Besides, you need that money, amen? You take it home, buy your wife a steak, make up for that fight she's in, glory. But you know, there's somebody else talking, so you better give that money back to her, boy. Used to, when I was lost, I'd have kept that money. You know what? The Holy Ghost helped me to tell that little girl, listen, you give me back too much money. And she gave me back the right change. He's the one that helps you to refrain when you're about to get in trouble. Folks, I believe the Holy Ghost will warn you. Because when somebody does cause you to lose your temper, and somebody does hurt you and insult you, and somebody gets in front of you at the stop sign or runs over you almost or something, and you feel like giving them a piece of your mind. It's the Holy Ghost keeps you from doing things that you'd be sorry for. Do you know that? He'll warn you. Let me give you this. I was driving a church bus first church that I attended. Don't ever put a new convert in as a bus captain, okay? They got me, taught me in driving a church bus, and it wasn't the little bitty kids giving me a problem, it was those big old teenagers. And I'm little in stature, and I come, you know, from a little type of people, I don't know, from over there somewhere, but